Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. I am beyond overjoyed to be joined once again by the one and only Mike Wall. You can find him on Twitter at MikeWall68. He is back with us for another season. I am so grateful for that. It wouldn't feel like football season without him. Mike, it is unbelievable to have you back. Welcome, welcome back, and how was your offseason?
Andy, great to be back. Great talking to you. Can't wait to talk some football. Offseason's been interesting. As some of you might know, I moved over to Frankfurt. I'm doing some football things over here. Still keeping up with some relationships in the NFL as well. So super busy, trying to deal with the time change. Not very good at the language, and I'm looking more and more like Voldemort as all the years start going by here, I'm noticing. So, life, I'm not sure if life's pointing in the right direction, but we're having a good time.
I'm glad to hear. That's all you can do at this point, right? Is just have a good time, and whatever happens from there happens. But like I said, it's so great to have you back. Thanks so much for taking the time. Pumped to have you on weekly once again. Before we even jump into everything, I know you are doing an awesome job on your YouTube channel. Just tell everyone here at Pack-A-Day where we can find you on a regular on your YouTube channel.
Yeah. I run a show called Block Party. I just started doing it again this week. I think the episode came out this morning. You can find that on our Process to Perform channel on YouTube. If you're an audio listener, you can get it wherever you find your podcast. But honestly, it's a bunch of video breakdowns and whatnot. So if you're into kind of dissecting the inner workings of the game, I think it's a good site for you.
Yeah, I know a lot of people here are always asking me to do film breakdowns, and I haven't done it yet. Always a little bit worried about it, but follow Mike. He does. There's nobody better at breaking down Packers film than Mike. So go check out his YouTube channel. You are not going to want to miss that. And it is must watch episodes every single week. Mike, let's get into it right away. Let's talk about Packers Eagles before we jump into the minutia of it. What was your 10,000 foot view takeaway from this game? Obviously playing in Brazil, international game, a little bit wonky. You had the Jordan Love injury, but what were your kind of key takeaways from this one?
Well, I think the first thing that it's impossible to not address is the conditions of the field as it relates to player safety and just quality of play.
Yep.
I've been on a couple fields, unfortunately, in my time in the NFL that were just so substandard that they take away from the actual ability to do your job and do your assignment at a high level. That's a danger to the football teams. It's a danger to the individual players. It's a shame that they'll come out and say, that was a rousing success. And, we had our experts look at it, the same old standard BS line from Goodell. So that part of it, it's disappointing. I think that right now the Eagles are probably a little bit better football team than the Packers, particularly their offense versus our defense. While we say we could probably have scored 40 if it not been for a couple of missteps early, they could have scored 50, if not for a couple of turnovers that they didn't really need to have. So there's a lot you can take away. It's a good football game. You can just see how much talent we have on the offensive side of the football in particular. The defense, as we watch it and we go through the tape, you love the additions that they have in the secondary from a free agency standpoint and from a draft standpoint. Yep. You love that we're the new scheme. What you are seeing, though, is the Eagles very quickly were able to figure out how to get a linebacker out of the box and put a safety in it when they wanted to run. They understand how to get a linebacker out to the slot when they wanted to pass against somebody. So they did a very good job of taking the base defense and just moving their guys around enough to put us in disadvantageous situations. That, to me, is a coaching thing, and that's Jeff Hathley's first game. And so we have to kind of get we have to maybe not talk as much about the individual performances because it was affected by the turf so much, and really kind of break down maybe some of where your eyes are at from a player standpoint. But really, this was, to me, a coaching job done by our defense that just wasn't up to snuff.
Yeah, there were a couple plays. Isaiah McDuffie got matched up against Devontae Smith in the slot on a couple plays. Actually did a decent job on a couple of those, running with him as best as he could. Of course, you had McDuffie get lined up on the wheel route to Saquon Barkley up the sideline, which was an advantageous position for the Eagles offense. There were a couple of those type of plays that throughout the course of the game, you're just looking at and being like, Green Bay's not in a position to succeed. There was the one play, I think I posted it as well, where the Quay is making the check at the line and they just don't have the numbers matched up. And I don't know if McDuffie didn't get the call, but he goes in, you know, goes back in zone. But there's two guys that are completely wide open on the play. I don't know if, to your point as well, I know you posted it and said maybe Quay wasn't supposed to blitz on that play. But either way, they just don't have the numbers. There was confusion, misalignments, mismatches.
Yeah. He's in that play in particular, he's covered up. So he has the right to go, but whatever he's communicating to Isaiah at that point, it was incorrect, obviously. Yeah. Looking at the outcome, but every time that we're showing, you know, the one thing that when you watch Xavier McKinney with the New York Giants, like by one, if there was a negative comment, it wasn't about him. It was about where he was always lining up. They line up extremely deep and they're still doing it. And you can see multiple times this week where the safeties are so deep pre-snap that even if they're running 10-yard hitches or, you know, 10-yard stick routes, they're wide open. And then we're having to come down and make plays. You saw it on the sticks play on with John Alexander on A.J. Brown over on the near sideline. He should be playing sticks in that situation. We're bringing more men than they can handle, so they know it's going to be a quick throw. He's so far off. The guy not only can catch a 10-yard out, but can also turn on. So for me, you know, you don't know how much the players have as far as leeway and where they're going to line up. But just from a concept and installation standpoint, some of that stuff I think we're going to take a hard look at because – it just fundamentally didn't make sense. There's one more that we could talk about too. And I think Orlovsky was talking about this in ESPN. Guy's a genius, right? He's done a really good job.
He's awesome.
He started talking about how the numbers weren't right. And that wasn't necessarily true from a run standpoint because the gaps were filled. The problem was actually that you can't put a two eye against a good line and not expect to get knocked the hell out of there and put your linebacker, who's not really a downhill aggressive kind of player anyways, in that kind of situation. And that was the one time they did a pretty good job through the course of the game, especially early, of keeping a shade on the backside in those formations. And that shade can really compress that new center and allow Mekhi Becton to get on the linebacker, but we can still make the play at the line of scrimmage. Well, as soon as you get that two, I mean, they threw Kenny Clark out the bar, and All of a sudden, you know, Quay's sitting there like, what do I do? And it's those things, just getting guys in the right spots to do things full speed is, you know, something to be a point of emphasis for sure in the upcoming weeks.
Ben Fennell tweeted out yesterday something to the effect of, you can tell some of these defensive lines who are going with maybe some of the undersized players, and, you know, good teams are just going to take advantage of it. And, you know, Kenny's not undersized by any means, but, you know, there were some of those situations where Philly got some mismatches in the run game as well and took advantage of it. And then going back to your point about the Jair play, I talked about this exact play on the show for Wednesday. You've got Keyshawn coming off the edge unblocked. And for a player like Jair, who is, you know, willing usually to maybe take a chance here or there, to not be playing the sticks and to not, that was a third down situation. And because if he jumps that one, you know, one of what a few things happen, either maybe The best case for the Eagles is that he jumps in and it's just a pass breakup. The best case for the Packers is he houses that thing, or Hurts double clutches and realizes he can't throw that ball, and Nixon just obliterates him on the backside, and you end up maybe with a sack or a forced fumble. There's so many things that could have happened, but unfortunately, Jair's too far back. And to your point, not just a completion for a first down, but then comes up on it and has to try to make a tackle on A.J. Brown. Brown makes a miss and he picks up additional yardage on the play. Like, those were just the sort of things that you're hoping would be a little bit more crisp and cleaned up. I get it's first day in a new defense, but those are things that I'm hopeful that will get maybe remedied going forward.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this goes back to, and I think I heard Tom Brady bitching about it, or maybe it was Peyton Manning. Earlier this week, maybe last week, you know, like, preseason matters.
Yeah.
And it might not matter for every single player on your football team, but it matters for most of them. And so, you know, there's always those like one or two guys that can go out and just like not practice, all the Walter Joneses of the world, and just be fine. But most guys need reps. And so when you're not getting these reps, it's a legitimate issue, because now you're going up against, you know, even though they lost Kelsey, this is one of the better offensive lines in the National Football League. Now with Saquon, it's definitely one of going to be the one, and Jalen Hurts can be one of the better running teams. They have A.J. Brown on the outside. I mean, they're a stacked offense. Like, bottom line, they're going to be a top five offense. And you're going out there, and granted, in bad conditions, but you're going out there with an unproven premise on defense that you really haven't done anything but play cover four the entire preseason. So it's like, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that they held them to 30 some odd points, you know, honestly, they were fortunate that they had a fumble snap at the beginning and a couple other plays that could have gone the other way.
A fumbled snap on the 1 yard line at the end too, that easily could have been a touchdown on a potential tush push on that play. I'm coming around on this. I've said for a while now, I think a coach in a lot of ways is sort of darned if you do, darned if you don't, because if you end up with another Jordy Nelson torn ACL, everyone's immediately saying, why was that guy playing in a preseason game? But if you come out and play a completely sloppy brand of football in week one, everyone's questioning, why did you not play players in the preseason? But I'm coming around to more of like, I think you have to play it more. And my reasoning for this is the best team in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs, they're doing it. If Patrick Mahomes is out there, if their guys are out there, if their defense is out there, if they're getting more snaps for their guys, and that's like the blueprint right now, then you don't really have an excuse. If that's the sort of what's in vogue throughout the course of the league, get your guys out there, play some snaps. I get that it's important to be healthy. And for the most part, they got to week one healthy, but man, those early season losses definitely count up as well. And now with Jordan potentially missing some time, you could be behind the eight ball and having to go, you know, maybe 9-4 to end the season in order to get a spot in the playoffs, depending on how these next few weeks go.
Yeah, and it's cool. It's cool that you bring up the Chiefs, because like Andy is old school, but he's also one of the more innovative coaches in the league. So when he's doing things for a purpose. He believes strongly that that is going to put his team in a better position. He's right now top of the mountain. He has been for a number of years now. You know, I understand the premise that the joint practices are a better way to do business. I firmly agree with that, quite frankly, that it's a better way to do business because it's a more of a controlled environment where you're still going to go full speed. I watch those practices all preseason, and like guys are not pulling a lot of punches on those.
No.
So you get a lot of great work, but you know, and I've said this for years with regards to this particular team. And I have no idea, but it always has looked to me like they don't practice maybe as at the intensity level that maybe I'm accustomed to.
Sure.
And that doesn't make it wrong, but it does, you know, have cause for concern when you're missing a ton of tackles. And again, turf, I get it, right? But when you're getting moved out of the way, when people are like, there's plays in the game where I had a keep it simple, stupid moment here on my show where you have all the gaps filled. But the linebackers literally don't know what to do because there's two sets of cleats in the ground just moving the wrong direction, right? Because their body position's poor and this and that and the other. And it's like, that's where you think maybe some of the early preseason work could hurt or could help. Excuse me.
Yeah, the two guys that you're hoping are going to be your good run defenders on the inside, TJ Slayton and Kenny Clark, had not great games in this one. And to your point, we're getting moved out of the way a little bit too often. And then, you know, obviously it happened with Wyatt too, who you maybe expected from a little bit more, just struggled to hold up at the point of attack against a very good Philadelphia Eagles offensive line. I know you mentioned it's tough to gauge some of the individual performances in this one because of the field conditions, but I want to ask you about a few different things. First of all, I know there was a lot of buzz about the linebackers this week, and you just brought up a great point of it's hard when your defensive line maybe isn't doing the job in front of them, right. But Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, and then I think on a brighter side, Edgerrin Cooper all had different levels of maybe play in this one. What did you see on tape from the linebackers? Week one is officially in the books, and while it didn't maybe go the way many of us were hoping, it was still great to have football back in our lives. Now, we're on to week two, and there is still plenty of winning to be done, especially with Prize Picks. Right now, one Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right, only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. And trust me, you are not going to want to miss this deal on Prize Picks. What I love about Prize Picks is that you can win 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. And Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, your picks are still live. So obviously, I'll be going with Caleb Williams again in week two, but I have an oddly confident feeling about Malik Willis as well, especially when it comes to rushing yards. Whoever you choose, the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey friends, most people don't tell you that one of the hardest parts of becoming an adult is trying to actually kickstart your credit. Young adults get set up with credit cards so early, and so many people immediately start to accumulate debt as they begin their college careers. I know that's exactly what happened to me, and this is why I wish Kickoff was around when I was in credit trouble. I absolutely love Kickoff because of its simplicity and its results. Here's how simple it is. You make one-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows. And as for those results, users with credit under 600 increased their credit by an average of 30 points in the first month. And what's even better, there's no credit check and you can cancel at any time. Kickoff is the number one credit building app out there and has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for a dollar. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C, get KIKOFF.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary.
If you just want to talk about mental errors and communication errors, maybe not lining up in the right spots, you know, we don't know how much of that, like what we just talked about with the query off the edge. You just don't know what's going on there. So like, if we throw those out. From a physical standpoint, I actually like the way that Quay played, as I think he took a step forward from last year. Just the way that he was coming downhill a bit more, a little more aggressive towards the line of scrimmage. You didn't see as many plays like 8 yards deep as he would used to. There was a great play where I think Nixon came off the slot. He came down. It was a 4-yard game, but it was like it was decisive. He didn't take any false steps. He just saw it and went for it. Now he could see it faster, and he will eventually, but he saw it and he went for it. It wasn't backpedal for three, go over there, get him a 7-yard gain instead of a 4. So you like some of that. You know, I think McDuffie, it just got honestly, when he's there to make plays, he made the plays. There was a couple bad reads, and again, I think it's a lot of it's because of the turf and getting moved around in the front. But you get put out in space against slot receivers and you know, in places you shouldn't be, like you're getting out schemed and now you're getting exposed. And whether or not the Eagles had come into the game thinking like, oh, we're going to expose that guy in particular.
Right.
You know, if that's what their plan was, they did a hell of a good job with it because he got put in a position where he shouldn't be. He should be in the box. He's an in the box linebacker. If they needed to switch him and Quay just to get rid of that scenario, that probably would have been better off because quite frankly, he's better against the run. You like Cooper. You like Cooper on tape from when he was playing in college. You like him now. He's still a little bit light, but the energy's there. The confidence, I think, for a rookie is really what kind of stood out for me. He plays with a lot of confidence. I felt the same way about Javon Bullard. I thought he just plays with a ton of confidence. He's going to make some mistakes, but there's just no fear in those guys. They're coming from big programs and they're used to the spotlight. So, like. Really, really high on those two picks for sure.
Yeah, I thought Bullard, he had the play, unfortunately, on the out and up to AJ Brown, where he scored the big touchdown on Jair. He probably took a over aggressive angle on that one and ends up kind of flying out of the picture. And Brown's able to cut it back and score the touchdown. Had one other play where he missed the tackle, but man, outside of that, he was flying around, playing physical, hitting people whenever he had the chance to. It was just a more intimidating level of safety play than I think we've been used to as of late. I was super excited about what he can become if he can just kind of clean up a couple of those things, which will come with time as his first game as a pro. And then same thing with Cooper, just the raw athleticism, the ability to come up and play fast, completely fearless. I think that the defense needs a little bit more of that. And I know that there's going to be rookie mistakes with both of those guys and you have to kind of live with that. But I think there's also big plays that they can make in the meantime.
Yeah, and you just always wonder, and this is probably a question for the right guard position as well, with that rookie situation. You know, at what point do you say, I would rather go ahead and let these guys learn a little bit, particularly on defense, where you just don't really know what you have if you're that coach in this system. Do you just want to go ahead and give those guys the opportunity to make mistakes and deal with it because you know you're going to there's some good coming out of it? Or, you know, do we just not have the personnel around them that makes sense? I don't know the answer to that, but if you were going to ask me where the ceilings are for, like, you know, all of those players that we just mentioned, I would probably say the two rookies have the highest ceiling.
I totally agree. And I'm much closer on that side of things. And I go at it at offensive line too. I already said, I think maybe it's just time already. I didn't think there was a noticeable, discernible difference. And I'll love your opinion on this as well between Morgan and Sean Ryan. In fact, I might've thought that Morgan may have had a slightly better game in this one. And if it's even close, go with a guy that, you know, potentially has more upside, first round pick that you feel could potentially be a long-term starter there. I'm intrigued by that. And yeah, I think, you know, Matt and Goody talked last year of how the rookies that played well last year played so well because they got so many opportunities and they got to be out in the field a ton. Well, I think you're going to get to the point with Javon Bullard, Edgerrin Cooper, and Jordan Morgan, that the more they play, the only the better that they're going to get. And I would kind of rip the Band-Aid sooner rather than later, let them get those reps, make those mistakes, and hopefully, like the rookies last year, be playing their best football towards the end of the year.
Yeah, if we want to talk specifically about the right guard position, yeah. I said this earlier in my show. It's not for the reasons that you're saying necessarily. I think that Sean Ryan showed zero improvement from last year. His hand placement was no better than it was last year. Yeah. His backside, he's bringing his left hand in and missing the block on the A-gap linebacker because there's no discernible improvement. And you wanted to see him take the reins and take that job. And so when you do that, you leave the door open for the person who's obviously, at least on paper, a little bit better athlete and has a higher ceiling. Yeah. So I don't think – like Jordan Morgan didn't do a single thing in this game where I was like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. We got a guy now. But he plays a little more compact. He tries to play within his framework. He's clearly kind of a better athlete. He's not going to try to slop you a little bit.
Right.
And I was just a little bit taken aback by the lack of, honestly, the lack of like detail in hand placement with Sean Ryan at this stage going into year three. Like if you go watch old Marco Rivera tape at right guard, like his hands don't miss.
No.
Right. And that was, it was kind of early and often, and like, because you recognize as a guard, if your hands miss, you're in a lot of trouble. And you're always fighting. And so I think for that reason, more than anything, I would say let's tear the Band-Aid off them. Because quite frankly, Andy, like I've been in that situation. And while we have to say, oh, I love the competition, I love the, it's total horseshit. Like nobody wants to be there. Like,
yeah,
if I'm good, if I haven't separated myself, then you should have played me more in the preseason. And if you want to go with the other guy, go with the other guy. But let's not continue to do this flip-flop thing, because it really does it'll get to the point where you're in the situation that the wrong guy is going in and you need the other one.
Yeah.
And what do you do? And then you've made the decision. It's already too late.
As a center or right tackle, Zach Tom, Josh Myers, does rotating the right guard affect either of them at all? Is there a truth to the, it's nice to have the consistency with the guy next to you, so you know what they're doing, or is it overrated?
Well, if the guys both are all coming from an equal knowledge base, like that matters obviously. Right. So yeah. If I can make the calls, if I communicate well, that's one thing. But when we talk about it, usually we're talking about like really good players on really good teams, or really good offensive lines. So like if you put Zach Martin next to those guys and he doesn't know a single play, it's going to be better than you saw this weekend because he's right. Way better than them, right?
Yep.
So Zach Tom will be like, oh, that's fantastic. I'd love to play with that guy. So there's that part of it. I don't really. These guys are learning like kind of the same techniques and everything. And the center and the right tackle know who they're playing with. It's not like a surprise. So I don't really buy into that as much. I'm sure there's a comfort level difference. Like for example, if you've got a guy who likes to clean the clock in the defensive end when he comes inside, I bet you the right tackle would rather play with that one.
Yeah.
I mean that kind of stuff. If he hangs inside more, the center would like him more. But so it's more of a play style maybe. Than just this, like we have to build in a comfort level.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. You brought up Xavier McKinney a little bit ago. He was obviously their big free agent signing. Josh Jacobs was the other one. If you have anything other on McKinney, awesome. But what were your impressions of the two big free agent signings?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he starts off the game doing, making big plays. Had the pick. What a great read. I think the play before that, he made a huge play as well. I'll remember it. It was literally
the play right up on the right side. So
it was a play
range
right before. So you just see what the quality of player is. And again, I think from a leadership standpoint, from an activity standpoint, from a willingness to be physical standpoint, I got the game going on a screen right here, just on loop.
Yep.
And I just watched him slip. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, just don't forget. Like some of the stuff you saw is a little sloppy. But I love the way he plays. He's such a huge pickup. The only caveat is the same thing we saw with the New York Giants. Is like sometimes both those guys are so far back that the guy's got crazy range, no doubt about it. But when you're running stick routes and things at 8, 10, 12 yards, it's really, really hard to not complete that ball if you're a good football team.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And then what about Josh Jacobs?
So, you know, it's funny. It's like I'm watching the game live and I'm like, man, they miss Aaron Jones, you know? And the reason I say that is because Aaron was so good for the last five games of the season with this offense, like this, essentially this offense. And he could kind of cover up some of the, like the first run of the game, like Elgin Jenkins, literally the only one who touched anybody. Yeah. You know what I mean? Everybody else completely whipped. So you could, he sometimes made lemonade out of lemons. But then you start watching, they get into the gap schemes where they understand the Eagles are going to move around. So we're going to get some more double teams. And man, you just like, Josh is a really special player. Like yeah. He's really, really good. Really good downhill. Makes very smooth cuts, is actually a smoother runner at speed than I thought he would be.
I agree.
Very explosive. He runs compact. And, you know, the book on him is he's only going to get better as the game goes on. And that's certainly what happened. I think, you know, I probably misspoke in that initially. I think the way I'm thinking about it is I don't see a lot of Elgin Jenkins played a really lights out game. I think Zach Tom graded out well, but like, I think Elgin, from a moving humans from where they don't want to be and we're going to run the ball right over him, I thought that he was like the player of the game for me.
Yeah.
So aside from him, though, you're not seeing a lot of action. And so Aaron Jones was a guy that could make that happen. And there's going to be this constant comparison where I probably shouldn't do it. But man, I thought he obviously had a really, really good football game. You just love to see, and this happened with the Raiders at times too. He would have like a 2, a 2, a 2, a 2, a 2, a 23. And you'd like to see a little bit more closer to four, a pop, and then you know yep. Maybe we'll even cut out some of the short ones.
You and I are in lockstep. I thought Elton was phenomenal in this game, but more importantly on the Aaron Jones thing of, it was funny because at the end of last year, it was like, man, this running game's really getting going. It's like, well, just Aaron Jones is back. Like yeah. That he just makes so many things happen and finds the craziest creases, the craziest cutback, stays on his feet, contact balance, just all of it, that he's just a special dude at making something out of absolutely nothing. And Jacobs, I think, especially going back to last year with the Raiders in a tough situation, struggle with that a little bit more in trying to make something out of nothing. So I think if you have a solid run game, which we saw develop a little bit more through the course of this game, and they blocked it up a little bit better, I think he can be massively dynamic. I think he can finish some of those runs even better than maybe what Aaron did. But yeah. Aaron was just so special at finding ways to get positive yardage out of absolutely nothing. Plays that should have been 3-yard losses turned into 6-yard gains. And you just, it's so much hidden yardage, but it was always appreciated from Aaron.
Yeah, I think I can't wait to see Marshawn Lloyd. AJ being hurt sucks for AJ, but you know, you get to see Wilson and he looked good in the preseason. He looks good now. You know, you kind of wondered what that was going to look like if you got the opportunity, and he's a little speed demon. I just really, this is another one of those games where like, you can't complain about scoring 29 points.
No,
right. You can't complain about scoring 29 points and you're moving guys off the ball. I don't know if this Philly, I don't really know how good the Philly Eagles defense is compared to like last year. Their D-line certainly not as good as it used to be. They lost a lot of talent, right? But when you talk about physicality, they play downhill. Their linebackers and safeties both play downhill. But we did a really good job starting probably in the second quarter or the second half of getting double teams, pulling guys to clean up so they could see its space. I think, you know, Sean Ryan's much better, you know, quite frankly, on the move than he is, you know, trying to attack the double. But between Zach and Elgin Jenkins on the other side, like, they did a really nice job of moving people off the spot in the sloppy conditions. And when you're the aggressor like that and you have those opportunities, like, you're going to have success in the run game. It's just a question of how fast was Coach LaFleur going to get to those plays.
Yeah, that's going to be kind of an interesting thing just to see how they use him, especially now if Jordan's not available in this game, which, speaking of which, before we get you out of here, likely going with Malik Willis in this game. We'll see. He didn't rule out Jordan entirely, but I got to believe he's probably not playing in this one. Your thoughts on how Green Bay can maybe come out with a win against Indianapolis at home on Sunday?
So I watched a ton of indie tape this week. Let me start by saying, I'm sure you've seen it already, that I watched that throw live. I've never seen a throw like that in my life.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, I just never seen anything like it in my life. I didn't know it was possible.
Yep.
He is a rare, rare talent. If you stand next to him, it's you know, it's like, he's like a wider version of Cam Newton. Like, he's that physically imposing. He's fast. He's got a rocket arm. Obviously, they have the run game. The offensive line's only going to get more and more confidence because of the way that they can run their offense with Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson being so mobile.
Yep.
So I think offensively, they're going to pose a lot of issues with our defense, particularly after what they're watching on tape here. Defensively, I think we should try to put up 30 or 40 points. You watch the game, you just watch what they have on listen, the matchup that is going to determine the game, I'll tell you right now, is 99 Buckner versus our right guard.
Yep.
I don't even know if they put him over Elgin Jenkins, because I think they have that leeway where him and 90 can switch. And I would just put him over. If I was him, I would put an easy chair out over wherever the right guard is and just rest until the ball snapped and go after him every time, because he's not the player he was necessarily, but he is really, really good. The UCLA kid is good. I think they all play hard, but that is a matchup that can be really disruptive. You're going to see a pretty similar look every down and distance, but they'll run some games. They like to stunt their linebackers. They play aggressive football. They're a fun team to watch. It'll be a fun matchup.
Yeah, I mean, he's out for the year. They're a little bit thin at corner. Kenny Moore is a really good slot corner, but just how much separation can those wide receivers get? Can you make things a little bit easier for Malik Willis? Have you had a chance to take a look at much Willis tape or anything, or have you dove into him too much?
So I don't, I haven't watched, I'm not going to watch backups in the NFL, man, but I was in Liberty training guys when Malik was at college. So I've seen a ton of Malik Willis. He's a really, really talented kid. Got a great head on his shoulders. All the stuff you probably already know, but he's, you know, when you go to Tennessee was rough for the last couple of years from a development standpoint. When you look at any number, Andre Diller's another guy where you go like, they just didn't do a very good job of developing talent down there for a while. I don't really know why. Maybe there were some positions that's true about, but you know, Malik didn't really flourish down there. Maybe it was the offense. Maybe it was the coach. I'm not sure, but he certainly looked the part to me when he was in college. And I think this is as friendly an offense as you can find in the National Football League. I mean, there's a reason that all the guys are going to the Shanahan type style offense. It is incredibly friendly to the quarterback, the offensive line, really everybody across the board.
Yeah, very much so. I think this game in general is one that I'm really interested in kind of watching. I think Malik Willis is going to be the ultimate wild card. Anthony Richardson, do you get the really good? Do you get the really bad? Do you get somewhere in the middle? All of this is going to be very interesting, and Green Bay has to pull out a win. Very last thing before I let you go, any other like random stuff just kind of catch your eye through the course of week one? Any trends, schemes, teams, anything that caught your eye in week one?
Ooh, trends, schemes, and teams. I'm just trying to think who I watched that kind of caught my eye.
Well, what's going on with your other old team? Yeah, that's off to a they don't look very good right now.
Yeah, you know, there's something going on there. I think from the top down,
very much so.
Is just they're just having a hard time with. And it's unfortunate, you know, I don't know. I've had some discussions with their building about some things that are related to football, but not necessarily on the field. And I don't know that their priorities, I'm not sure where they are as compared to like a franchise like the Green Bay Packers. Right. I think that it's different. Now, if you wanted to talk about the Seattle Seahawks as my other franchise.
Yep. That was a fun
boy
game.
I really like the way they played this last weekend. And they had a good game against, you know, the Denver Broncos team's probably not going to win a ton of games this year, but they've got a good defense. They got some great players. That they have a Hall of Fame coach. And I think the Seahawks, I mean, for Canales came out and win that for not Canales, for the rookie coach to come out and win his first game, Geno Smith continues to play at a high level. Yeah, they got Walker through the third over 100 yards. Like, okay. I like the way those guys are playing. Here's the thing that I find interesting. Here's the thing about the NFL. Here we go. Almost everybody in the National Football League and around the National Football League. So, in other words, if I talked to five or six coaches this week,
yep,
every single coach wants to, in some form or fashion, be a Shanahan offense guy. Everybody wants to, right? But then you go up and watch Seattle. And they're the furthest thing from it. And they're still having a lot of success doing some things that you might look at and go, oh, it's, you know, shotgun. Maybe they're doing a little bit of motion stuff, but it's like almost like watching Peyton Manning you know, 15, 20 years ago, lining up and letting them see the defense, make the right call and that formation and go. Now, it's not that simple,
right?
But it is interesting how many people, because this offense is so user-friendly, everybody wants to get to it. And then the other thing is, like, you remember when we thought running quarterbacks were going to totally take over the league? And I'm not saying that they're not going to, because there really is no way to stop an Anthony Richardson or Lamar Jackson or a Josh Allen. There's really no way to stop them. But the drop-off financially, not even on the field anymore, but the drop-off financially between one and two is so disgusting that getting that guy hurt, the chances of that guy getting hurt in those things, I mean, I think it's going to really change how we think about offenses over the long term.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. And it, like, again, the amount of good backup quarterbacks in the league is just nowhere near enough. I mean, you don't even have enough good starters in the league right now. So it is really tough to find those guys. And when you have one, like you said, you don't necessarily want them running around and having those opportunities to get hurt. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that evolves. I always kind of just assume that you would, like, the growth pattern would be, you're just going to have, like, every quarterback's going to be super mobile. And then they're also just going to be like versions of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady of that, but they're going to be insanely mobile. And maybe it gets to that at some point, but either way, you still probably want them to stay in the pocket as much as possible and not be subjected to quite as many of those hits because of exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Stylistically, I think they'll just have to change what they're doing. There are certainly, I mean, listen, the best athletes are starting to play quarterback now. They used to be running back, wide receiver. Now, yeah, the best athletes are going to be quarterback. I don't think that's going anywhere because that's where the money is. But I think stylistically, you're just going to see a lot. I mean, Jalen Hurts in this game, like, he first play he runs, he's sliding. You know, I mean, it's just, it's a total sea change different from what we expected maybe 10 years ago.
No, you're totally right. Mike, phenomenal stuff as always. Let you one more time shout out anything that you want to shout out, and then we'll get you out of here.
Awesome. Yeah, check it out. MikeWall68 on Twitter, Process to Perform on Instagram. Our block party shows out every Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. I'm going to try to do a preview show here this week. Been super busy over here, man. So I'm trying to piece these things together. Obviously, I got to get my lighting and stuff in, Andy, but I'll try to look more professional for you next time around.
Nobody's here for looks. I can guarantee you that. How things look, they just want to hear good football talk. And it is always amazing having football conversations with you, my friend. Have a great week two in the NFL. We will talk to you next week. Always appreciate it. Make sure to check him out on Twitter at MikeWall68. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.